go to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. I'm going to take off tonight and get into the message. I announced this morning I was going to preach on the subject, I love the bus ministry. That's not just a title, that's a fact. I love the bus ministry. Luke chapter 14. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read a very familiar parable. And this, of course, a lot of times is where we get part of our inspiration, our scriptural mandate concerning our highways and hedges type ministries, soul winning, door to door, running buses, picking up people, bringing them in. The parable of the great supper, verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. The Lord said unto the servant, go out to the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this parable. It's for many years, Lord, been the source of great inspiration. Lord, as we deduce from this story, Lord, the Bible mandate, we see it. We see your heart, Lord. We understand the desire that you have to have a full house. Lord, you want to bring into the kingdom of God as many people as you possibly can. Thank you, Lord, for not restricting evangelistic efforts just to a privileged few. Thank you, Lord, for not only caring about people that are wealthy or well, but Lord, thank you for caring about everybody. I pray, Lord, that I'll always be a part of a church that cares about everybody. Lord, that we don't begin to divide and subdivide and begin to estimate the importance or value of a person based on carnal things. Help us to see the value of one soul. Lord, we're going to rejoice a little bit tonight, talk a little bit tonight, and instruct a little bit tonight. And I pray that as a result of this, you may inspire, Lord, somebody in this room, maybe some bodies in this room, to join this type of a ministry, to get personally involved in rescuing those that are perishing. God, help us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to show you something before we begin, and I think it'll educate you a little bit. If you want to understand the heart, if people want to understand the heart of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, it's really hard to separate the heart and what we are from the bus ministry. I'll show you that that's true. First of all, if you're now currently serving in the bus ministry, I do not want you to stand. Did you hear what I said? I do not want you to stand. But if you at one point in the history, the 35-year history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, if you at one point in the history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church was either a bus driver, you're not now doing it, but you were a bus driver, a bus worker, a bus captain, or you helped on visitation in some way, you were actively involved for some period of time in the bus ministry here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Not those that are doing it now, but those that did it previous. Would you stand, please? Would all of you stand? Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Thank you very much. God bless you, each and every one. Thank you very much. Good. Good. I do that on purpose because sometimes we focus on those that are now doing it. We forget that there's many that came before and went before and did it for many years and stepped up and were faithful to that. Thank you. Now, let me have this group stand up. If you're a bus driver or a bus captain or a substitute bus driver or a bus worker, or you maybe do not ride the bus, but you at least help on Saturday visitation. You're currently doing that. That's the ministry, one of the ministries you're involved in right now. Would you stand, please? Would those group of people stand? God bless each and every one of you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I mean that. God bless you. Isn't that great? You can be seated. How many of you figuring out this takes a lot of bodies to make this thing go? How many of you are mechanics? Let me just say this. You have, in the past, or currently now, help in some way. You've in the past been available and been a part of keeping our buses maintained, keeping our buses running, fixing buses when they're down. You've been a part of that either in the past sometime in the bus ministry or currently you're doing that. Would you stand at this time? Isn't that something? It's taken a lot of men through the years, a lot of time to keep these buses running on the road. Thank you so very much. How many of you gals right now or in the past, you've ever been involved in being pitching in and helping out and making bus treats? Would you stand? Ah, these are the real heroes of the bus ministry. They've prevented many a riot on the way home right there. Thank you, ladies. I mean that. You have no idea if you've never been on the bus on the way home how much that means to these kids. And they love them. And then let me give you this. Because honestly, folks, the bus ministry spills in and continues long after the buses arrive. If you work with children, maybe you don't work on a bus to bring them here. You don't work on a bus to bring them here, or maybe you do. But when they get here, you teach them Sunday school, or you're a Sunday school worker, or you're a children's church worker of any of our children's churches, or a helper in some capacity. You've do something like that. Brother Jerry, part of my ministry is once the children arrive here, I have a part in teaching them or training them or bribing them or capturing them or threatening them or whatever you do. Would you stand at this time, those of you that are involved in those ministries? Isn't that something? All right, now be seated. Now let me do this, because this will be fun. If you've stood at all, if you've stood for anything that I've asked so far, would you stand at this time? Anything I've asked so far, if you've stood, would you stand right now? Now, people that do not and cannot seem to figure out Blessed Hope Baptist Church, the one thing they're missing is what they're seeing right now. Now, I don't really much care. I've learned to grow past caring what a carnal community thinks about a Bible-believing church. But this is the heart of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. This is what sets this church in many ways apart. This is a church that doesn't just talk about what we need to do for the next generation. We put our money where our mouth is. We put our time and efforts where our mouth is. And we work it week in and week out. We don't just talk about Jesus loving the little children. We get out there and bring them in so they can know that Jesus loves them. Listen, I'm not trying to put us on a pedestal. What I am saying is if you understand what you're looking at right now, you're going to understand a lot about this church. You can be seated. Can you imagine if I walked into a church? Can you imagine if I walked into a church and I asked all of these questions, and I went through this entire list, and not one person in that church could stand having ever been involved in anything to do with a ministry of reaching out and doing what God said as far as seeking out the poor, the maimed, the blind, highways, hedges, city lanes, go out, get them, bring them in so that we can tell them about Jesus, so that they know that they're invited to a great supper. Can you imagine? I think that that church would have a hard time finding its heart, because I believe that the bus ministry is the heartbeat of a church. I think it's the heartbeat. Now, I'm not trying to elevate it beyond other ministries, but I'm telling you, there's a difference between a church that has a bus ministry and a church that doesn't have a bus ministry. There is just a difference. I love the bus ministry. Folks, I want to stand on record as pastor of Blessed Hope Baptist Church and fully and wholly commit to the idea of us having a bus ministry till death do us part. Let's do that. How about that here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Let's just decide that if we never get the parking lot asphalted, we're just going to stay in the bus ministry. Let's decide if we never can afford a steeple for on top of the church, we're just going to stay in the bus ministry. Let's just decide that if we don't have some of the niceties, I mean, if we're just poor folk and we have to actually use hymnals instead of having some projector put the words up here so people will know that we're really up and coming. If we just stay poor folk, okay, let's just stay in the bus ministry. Let's just commit ourselves to the bus ministry. The history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church could be written in fire engine red with white letters. Because from the very beginning, the very first bus captain of Blessed Hope Baptist Church was Pastor Robert Ross. Within weeks of us beginning to meet in a living room in a man's house in Midland, Indiana, there was a van on the road with handwritten letters on the side that said, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Within months of them chartering, having the charter membership Sunday, you can look back and see for yourself in the business meeting notes where a church, a handful of people, voted to buy the very first bus that was ever purchased by this church and put on the road to bring children and teenagers to Blessed Hope Baptist Church and to reach families for Jesus Christ. The first man that drove that bus was Pastor Robert Ross. He started this church with a love for children. I don't believe Pastor Ross ever forgot his roots. I don't think he ever forgot his upbringing. I don't think there's ever been the poorest boy that's wandered in here with tattered jeans and toes poking through his shoes and hand-me-down shirt that's a size and a half too small that Pastor Ross didn't look and see himself and said, I want to reach those type of people. Hey, this isn't a snob church. Let me just announce this. If you're a snob, you're not going to be very comfortable here. I mean it, because I'm going to personally irritate you every chance I get. I mean it. I don't think God looks down at any church full of snobs that think they're God's elite that's gathered together to pat themselves on the back of how wonderful they are and how terrible the rest of the world. I don't think God's into that for one second. I thank God for a church that has a compassion about it and says, you know what? Listen, if the mayor walks in town, a mayor of our town walks in that back door, and the poorest little bus kid that you can find in this county walks in that back door at the same time, there's not one of them that's going to be treated better than the other one. Amen and amen. There's somebody that shows up in a Lexus or a Cadillac or a Volkswagen or whatever, or if they're really poor, even a Ford. If they show up in whatever they show up in. I don't care if they come in a limousine. Let me tell you something. They come in a limousine. They park their limousine right out there. And they strut in here in a $1,000 suit. Let me tell you this. I mean this with all my heart. They will not be treated by this preacher any more special than those little kids that climb off a red and white bus and wander up the aisle trying to figure out what pew they're supposed to sit in and where they're supposed to go. I believe God looks at everybody the same and God loves everybody the same. I love the bus ministry. I'm going to give you some practical reasons tonight why I love the bus ministry. I'm going to give them to you fast. That communion took so long. My goodness, I might preach over just because of the length of the communion. I'll take some time, but let's rejoice in the bus ministry. Let's thank God that we're in the bus ministry. Number one, I love the bus ministry because I believe the bus ministry brings many people to hear the gospel who would never have heard it otherwise. Through the years, there's a whole great multitude of young people and teens and adults that have found their way into a church that preaches the gospel and sat in a pew and heard the gospel, who never would have had that opportunity had it not been for the bus ministry. The most important aspect of the bus ministry is that it brings people in who are lost so that they can get saved, hear the gospel and get saved. They come in on the bus lost, but they leave on their way to heaven. That's the best of the best of the best part of the bus ministry. There's not too many weeks. There are some occasionally here and there, and that's fine. But there's not a whole lot of weeks that some bus kids aren't getting saved at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Maybe they got saved in Sunday school. Maybe they got saved coming into church on the bus. Maybe they got saved in children's church. Maybe like happened just this past week. I had one of the bus captains come to me and said one of the bus workers was on the bus, and a girl came up and began to talk to me as I was driving the bus home and said, I don't know that I'm saved. I'd like to know how to be saved. And the bus driver called for one of the lady workers, and they went and took this young lady to the back and bouncing up and down in that back seat. You ever been in the back seat of a bus? It'll change your life. Let me tell you that. Bouncing up and down in the back seat of that bus, trying to follow along in the Romans Road, a young lady just this past Sunday, I believe it was, bowed her head and closed her eyes and prayed with a sincere, repentant heart, and Jesus Christ saved her soul, wrote her name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's eternally saved, eternally secure. You know why? Because there's somebody that cared enough to be involved in the bus ministry. There's a group of people here in this church that has given. By the way, most everybody that was still seated when we had everybody stand, the honest truth is we can all claim a part, because if you give at all at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you give to support the bus ministry. Part of our tithes and offerings goes to keep these buses on the road. And without the giving, we just couldn't do it. Number one, it brings many to hear the gospel who never would have otherwise. Let me give you this. Number two, I love the bus ministry because I believe the bus ministry is pure religion. Pure religion. I love James chapter 1, verse number 26. It says, if any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain or empty or meaningless. Verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, let me just tell you something. You want the blessing of God. There's a couple of groups of people we ought not to forget. One of them is the fatherless. Can I say this? There's a whole generation, and bless their heart, it has nothing to do with them. It's not their fault. Many, many times it's just the way of circumstance. It's the way of sin. But somehow the devil's got in and busted up a family. Or many children are raised never even knowing who their father was. And you know what? God says this, Church of Jesus Christ, pure religion is you going out and finding these children and getting them into a church and letting them know that they are loved and they are important and they mean something to Jesus Christ. Pure religion. You know, somebody that's fatherless, there's no way for them to pay you back. And it goes on to say, fatherless and widows in their affliction. We're in seven different nursing homes every single month. Seven different nursing homes. This afternoon, I had the privilege of going over to the Good Samaritan Nursing Home right here in Jasonville. We're in transition. Justin Daffron had been preaching, doing a great job over there. He went off to Bible college, and then I started this month going over there, and I'm taking Jesse McCammon with me. I told Jesse, you called to preach? Yes, sir. You want an opportunity? Yes, sir. I said, follow me. You know, you follow me long enough, you're going to wonder whether you should keep following me, you know, but I said, come on. I'm going to take the next 3 or 4 months, and I'm going to go over, and I'm going to preach, and I'm going to lead singing, and I'm going to train him, and I'm going to get him ready, and we're going to start milking it over, and pretty soon he's going to be leading the singing, and pretty soon he's going to be doing the preaching, and pretty soon he's going to be there, and I'm going to be nowhere to be found, amen? But I'm going to get him ready to go. I preach at Glenburn Nursing Home when the opportunity arises there. Many of you, would you stand if you preach or participate in one of the nursing home ministries? Would you stand at this time if you preach or participate? You're there to lead singing or play a piano or provide special music, or you in some way participate in one of the... Listen, let me tell you what this is, folks. This is pure religion. This is pure religion. You can be seated. See, a lot of folks, they've got their demographics and they've got their target group, but it's funny how they're always after people with money. They're always after people they can get something back from. You know what? I hate to say this, but I don't know how much of the offering today is going to come from bus kids, but something tells me not enough to pay for the gas that got them here. So what? Who cares? That's not what it's about. Brother Jerry, how much money do you make going to seven nursing homes? I don't think I've ever been able to find that in the budget. I don't think that exists. Who cares? Who cares? But our problem is we have tainted religion. Religion that's into it for what we can get out of it isn't good, pure religion. Pure religion says, who can I help that can't help me? Who needs rescued? Who needs saved? Who is helpless? Who can I help that'll never have a chance to pay me back? You know what? That's okay. And the bus ministry is pure religion. Let me give you number three. I believe this is so true. I believe the bus ministry may be, of all the ministries in the church, it may be the quickest cure for selfishness. The quickest cure for selfishness. If you're a selfish person, you will not join the bus ministry, or if you do, you won't stay in it very long. Because you know what you find out? It's not about you in the bus ministry. Oh, but I got my hair all fixed up, and I got my fancy dress, and I'm going to come on the bus, yes. And some little kid's going to jump on your lap, and he's going to scruff his shoes all over your pretty dress, and he's going to mess your hair up. By the time you come to church, you're going to be going boing, you know, and you'd be walking down the aisle trying to tote these kids in and keep them in. And listen, you know what? It's not about you. Who cares? I tell our young people to go to Bible college. I tell our young men to go to Bible college. Listen, There's two types of gals you're going to see at the church that you're at on Sunday morning. You're going to see the ones that come in and every eyelash is in place and every hair is in place and the makeup's perfect and the dress is perfect, and they're going to come in right about the time church starts and make their grand appearance. And then you're going to see a bunch of gals dragging bus kids in, and they're going to look like they've been through World War III. Let me give you some grand advice. You go after one of those bus worker girls. You forget the ones that are so consumed about how they look and making their grand entrance. Forget about them. They don't make very good wives. They don't make very good helpmeets in the ministry. You know why? Because they're selfish. They're about them. They're there to impress. They're not there to serve. And what I'm saying is this, folks, listen to me, a cure for selfishness. You say, Brother Jerry, I'll be honest with you. The honest truth is I am. I'm just kind of a selfish person. You probably need to join the bus ministry. Brother Jerry, I've got a teenager. He's just a selfish little snot. Put him in the bus ministry. I'm serious. We'll serve it out of him. Amen. And it's a cure for selfishness. It's a cure for selfishness. Number four, let me give you this. I love the bus ministry because it allows our teen workers to, let me put it this way, peek into sin's back door. It allows our teen workers to peek into sin's back door. What do you mean by that? It allows them to see the results of sin, not just the allurement of sin. It allows them to see the results of sin, not just the allurement of sin. I've often said this. I've said that sin has a front door and sin has a back door. The front door of sin is decorated, and they hire the most beautiful men and women in the world to stand outside, and if you hang around the front door, every time the door opens and closes, you're going to hear nothing but fun and music and excitement and laughter, and you're going to peek in and you're going to swear everybody that's in there is having a grand old time. And that's what dupes a lot of you young people. You want to hang around the front door of sin. You want to watch the TV sitcoms and read the magazines and see the pretty picture that the billboards paint about how exciting sin is. Now, let me tell you something. Anybody that's ever walked in that front door, and by the time they get all the way through to the back, and I always say this, if you really want to learn about sin, don't stand at the front door. Go around and stand in the back alley and watch what sin pukes out the back door. I said, watch what sin pukes out the back door. You girls, some of you coming on the buses, some of you, you know, you're 15, 16, 17, and you know what, the ways of the world are so attracted to you, and running with boys and doing what the world does, and you sit around pouting that you're missing out on all that. You know what, if you get in the bus ministry, you'd knock on a lot of doors where there's 23 and 24 and 25-year-old gals that were a knucklehead like you when they were 14, 15, and 16. But guess what? Old Romeo's done gone and roamed off. And they're sitting there in government housing trying to raise three or four kids by themselves, living on food stamps, boo-hooing every day about how miserable their life is. You go to in the bus ministry and you'll hang around sin's back door and you'll see enough. Just by peeking in, you'll see enough to make it so that all this front door stuff doesn't have much effect on you. Let me just give a personal testimony. You know where I was the day that I turned 21? I want you to get this. You know where I was the day I turned 21? You say, when a young man, Brother Jerry, turns 21, isn't there this great temptation to go out and prove that he's a man? I mean, that's the day. You can take your driver's license, walk in any bar and tavern in Indiana, show them your card, and sit down and drink booze. I mean, that's a big party day when you turn 21. Where were you, Brother Jerry, when you were 21? Did that thought even cross your mind? Absolutely not. Were you even tempted slightly? Absolutely not. You know why? Because when I was 17 and 18 and 19 and 20, I was spending every weekend of my life on a Saturday morning. Not on a Friday night in Chicago, on a Saturday morning in Chicago. I've spent my Saturday mornings and Saturday afternoons knocking on doors and having women come to the door and in the poor section of town and their faces beat bloody and bruised and battered and their eyes swollen shut. You know why? Because their lover boy came home finally in the wee hours after drinking half the night away and come in and beat on them. I've watched too many times children cry because they were hungry and walk in a kitchen and open cupboards and refrigerators and find no food. You know why? Daddy drank the paycheck again. I don't want to be gross. I don't want to be, but folks, let me just tell you the truth. I've sat and caught the tears of too many young ladies who's been molested by a drunk uncle or a drunk daddy or a drunk stepfather. I'm sorry, but that's just the facts. By the time I turned 21, was I tempted to go into a tavern? No, let me tell you something. I spent several years now at the back door of it. I knew what it was. They couldn't make a billboard that would make it attractive enough for me. They couldn't hire enough Hollywood harlots and whores to stand out front and try to induce me into that. I've seen what's in there. I didn't have to go in the front door to find it out. You know where I learned those things? I saw it in the bus ministry. Young people, listen to me. Some of you that are foolish enough to be so enamored by the world, why don't you join a bus route? Why don't you go into some of these homes that sin has really devastated and destroyed? Why don't you look at what's happened to the young people? You know what? You'll get over that stuff real quick by joining the bus ministry. How about number 5? I love the bus ministry because it's a great training ground for those going into the ministry. I mean this. I'm glad that when I was in Bible college training to be a preacher that I spent some years in the bus ministry. I spent some years in Fisherman's Club to train me to be a good soul winner, effective soul winner, and I needed that. But after 2 years in the Fisherman's Club, a man told me, he said, you know what? You're having your head trained, and that's good, and you needed that. But you need to go somewhere where you can get your heart trained. And let me tell you something. God broke my heart for people in the bus ministry. God taught me what it is to weep over people in the bus ministry. God gave me compassion in the bus ministry. God trained my heart for the ministry. The tears that you watch your preacher preach shed, and the tenderness of heart, and the caring that we have in this church for people that are down and out came back, can be traced back to the years that I spent in the bus ministry. I thank God for that. If you're going to train for the ministry, spend some time in the bus ministry. Don't try to find whatever ministry is the easiest or requires the less from you. Go the extra mile and get your heart broke and invest in some people and love some people and reach some families and weep over some teenagers and watch some of them not make it. And be so broken that you find yourself on a Saturday night in front of their house on the sidewalk weeping over them and crying over them and begging God to bring them back. And you know what? You get some of that in you and you might make a good preacher. You might make a good preacher's wife. If you don't get that in you, you ain't going to be much worth of anything in the church or in the service of God. Thank God for the great training ground for those going into the ministry. Let me give you number 6. I love the bus ministry because it builds character. It builds character. You know what? It requires a lot of you. It's not for the lazy. It's not for the soft. The bus ministry builds character. I'm going to tell you what. You're going to have to set your alarm clock a lot earlier on Sunday morning than you do if you're not in the bus ministry. And you get the privilege of getting to go out in the middle of January to what you thought was a bus, but it's really not a bus. It's a huge red and white deep freezer. That's what it is. You're going to have the opportunity to try to get that thing to actually start. Now remember, this is a bus that really didn't start all that well in the best of weather. And you're going to pray over it, lay hands over it. And I had to laugh. I shouldn't tell this joke, but it really was pretty funny. The guy said, hey, I got a preacher joke. Tell me it's a men's joke. I got a preacher's joke for you. I said, all right. He said, there was a preacher and he had a bicycle and he was riding it down the road. And he really needed a lawnmower. And so he saw this kid and the kid had a lawnmower. And he said, hey, man, you want to trade your lawnmower for my bicycle? And he said, yeah, I'll do that. I want a bicycle. I want a lawnmower. So he took that thing home. Well, he started to try to pull it and get it to start, pull it and get it to start, pull it and get it to start. And it wouldn't start. So he went back to the kid and he said, you traded me this lawnmower for the bicycle, and he said, it won't start. He said, oh, yeah, it will. He said, no, it won't. He said, no, you just got to keep pulling it and pulling it and pulling it, and then you've got to cuss quite a bit. And he said, son, I'm a preacher. I've been saved so long. He said, I don't remember how to cuss. He said, you pull long enough, you'll remember. I thought that was funny. All right, here we go. I'm not going to ask if there's been any of you cuss over a bus on Sunday morning. We probably ought not ask that question. But you know what? You're going to get on that. And then, if you survive the winter, then you get to be a bus worker in the summer. And there's nothing more blessed than that. I mean, you come to church, you know, and you get into air conditioning finally. You know, the morning wasn't terribly bad. But then those buses, we make sure we park them where there's no shade. Amen. Absolutely. And they sit out there and they get hot and hotter and hot and hotter. And then you walk out there and there's a bunch of kids and they're in there and they're melting and you're melting. And and the little kids are crying, and the bus captain's crying, and the bus workers are crying, and it's hot, and you want to just get the bus moving, but the hottest day of the year is when the day you can't find Billy. You know, you can't find Billy. Everybody's like, get the bus going. We can't find Billy. And so you look everywhere, you check everywhere, and you know what? That doggone Linton bus took him again. That's right. It's always the Linton bus. They don't count their kids. They don't take attendance. They just get their bus going. They don't care who's on there or who's not on there. They just go, you know. And it's a blessing, let me tell you. So that's the opportunities you have. You say, oh, but Brother Jerry, I got a better idea. I can get up a little bit later, and I can drive in an air-conditioned car, and I've just got to scuttle over here into an air-conditioned building. And I know. You know what we've got. Folks, listen, I'm not picking on you if you're not in the bus ministry. But if you're not involved in anything that costs you a little something, shame on you. If you're not involved in something that costs you a little something, shame on you. I mean, after a while, folks, if we're just floating through this whole thing on bed of ease, and we're not being inconvenienced, if we're not having our character built and challenged in some way because we're working that hard to try to win a community to Jesus Christ. Now, listen, I think Jesse or some of the boys on the hill, I said, I tied my record. I preached 5 times today on Sunday. It's Sunday school, Sunday morning with the nursing home that I went over here to the chapel. I love preaching that chapel. I mean, I love preaching that chapel. I just do it once a month. But I love preaching that chapel. And I went over there and preached it and came back preaching tonight. And you know what? Let me just say, if you're not a little tired on Sunday after Sunday, you ought to probably get involved in something that's going to wear you out a little bit. Amen. Amen. I mean, by the time I get done today, you know what my prayer is before I go to bed? Thank you, Lord, that there's only one day of rest, because if I had another one, it would kill me. Oh, no, we want a bunch of professional Christians. You know, we don't even want to get up early enough to come to Sunday school. What does he expect? We want to saunter in here, sit down, then on the way home in our air-conditioned car, you know, whine about who didn't shake our hand and what the preacher said that we thought he should have said a little bit. You know what? You're not even on the same planet as me. You're not even on the... Listen, you don't understand Jesus Christ and what he wants and what he's about. This is not a social club where a bunch of professional, beautiful Christians gather together and pat each other back and admire each other for being so wonderful. This is a hospital, a spiritual hospital, where we run a bunch of red and white ambulances out and we pick up a bunch of sick people, and the people on there a lot of times working aren't in the best of shape either. But we just keep going, and we come in and we patch them up and we preach the gospel to them, we try to get them saved, and in the meantime we have our hearts touched and our hearts warmed, and God does something in our life. And I look at the life of Jesus Christ, and I see him out busy reaching people. I don't see him sitting around a whole lot. Number 7, I love the bus ministry because it tests a church's willingness to financially sacrifice. The bus ministry is good for us. You can't believe how many people in the community say, when gas hit $4 a gallon there for a while. And by the way, don't get too excited. It'll be back there. It's going to be back there, and it may go to neighborhoods you've never even imagined. But you know, people say, oh, my goodness sake, gas is $4. How are you going to shut your bus ministry? How do you guys keep that bus ministry going? How do you keep it going? And I say, you know what? We've got people that understand the importance of it. We've got people that sacrifice. We've got people in this room that probably, you know what? And the economy hurts all of us, but we've got people in this room that says in their heart, as they get ready and pray and have their tithes and offerings and praying what God will give them, Lord, I know things are tight, but you know what? It's tight for the church too. And it's costing us more to run buses than ever before. So, Lord, somehow we're just going to tighten our belt a little more. We're going to give a little extra, and we're going to keep those buses on the road. I want to thank God for people that have given financially and sacrificially in their tithes and offerings through the years to allow us to have a bus ministry. 4 buses and 2 vans every Sunday morning. Folks run this area. And I'm talking about buses that get 5 miles a gallon, 6 miles a gallon, 7 miles a gallon. I'm talking about a lot of money that's spent on an average weekend, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars every weekend. And you know what? We're glad to spend it. We're glad to spend it. You know why? Because these young people are worth it. Let me say this. I love the bus ministry because it reaches the poor. I'm not going to take the time, but sometime go through the book of Proverbs. There's 7, 8, 9 verses that we probably ought to read tonight. But I'm going to tell you, if you want God to bless you, then you keep your ear open to the poor. Care about poor people. Care about poor people. I mean this. Care about poor people. I hope there's always some folks here on Sunday morning. I mean this. I hope there's always some folks here on Sunday morning that would seem out of place in any other church in the county. But you know what? They fit just fine right here. They fit just fine right here. They're loved right here. They're welcome right here. You know, listen, this isn't some social program. This isn't a fashion show. We could care less. Let's get these little kids in here and let's bless them and let's help them. Let's get the gospel preached to them. Number 9, I love the bus ministry because it provides many opportunities for service. We saw that a few minutes ago as people stood all over. Maybe you've never driven a bus. Maybe you've never been a bus captain. Maybe you've never ridden on a bus, but you've done something that's helped a bus kid. In some ways, God has given you the opportunity to serve. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And be involved in it. Number 10, let me just say this. I love the bus ministry because every Sunday morning, I love just watching those children come in the door. Come in the door. The best moments of the week at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, standing for me, is standing up here and leading open assembly singing. And as I begin watching that back door, little groups of children continually coming in all during the song service, wandering around, every size, shape, color you can imagine. Some of them are very familiar, and they come running in, and they know right where to go, and some of them look around like they don't know where they're at and how they got here. And every one of them is special, and every one of them is loved, and every one of them is cared about. Folks, we're going to close out the message tonight, but I want to just take a moment, and I wanted you, if you don't love the bus ministry, I want you to learn to love the bus ministry. If you've fallen out of love with the bus ministry, I want you to fall back in love with it. I was praying about this message, and I asked the Lord to do something, so don't put your shoes on just yet. Give me another minute or two. Folks, we have people in our church that have faithfully served in the bus ministry for a lot of years. And they're not getting any younger. Listen, I'm not going to call you. God's going to have to call you, and God's going to have to break you, and God's going to have to get you ready for it. But we need some young couples that'll say, I'm willing to turn my weekend upside down. I'm willing to adjust my Saturdays. I'm willing to adjust my Sundays. I'm willing to eat Sunday supper at 2:30 or 3 o'clock. I'm willing to get up early. I want to spend the next 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 years just running a bus somewhere around this area, bringing in kids, winning them to Christ. Whatever inconvenience that costs me, I'm going to do. By the way, whatever price I have to pay to do it, I want to be willing to do it. You see, folks, that pure religion just didn't talk about loving the fatherless and widows. It also said keep yourself unspotted from the world. And you can't separate the bus ministry from a separated church. The unseparated churches don't run buses. The separated churches run buses. I had a guy tell me this week. He said churches like yours is a dying breed. Churches that have an active, functioning bus ministry that's impacting a community is a dying breed. Most independent fundamental churches is bailed out, or they have what we call a token bus ministry. They keep one little sharply painted bus run so they can say, we have a bus ministry. But they're not really dedicated, sold out to it. They don't sacrifice to have one. I told a guy here, I'll end with this story. And I told a man here in the community, and he does not go to an independent fundamental Baptist church. He doesn't go to a church like ours. And somehow, in this somewhat liberal church, the idea came up that maybe they ought to start a bus ministry. So he contacted me, it's been years ago, he contacted me and wanted to come down, him and a couple of the men in the church, and wanted to talk to me about our bus ministry and about them starting a bus ministry. Well, he came down with a couple of the deacons, and he had a piece of paper, and he had all these questions about what a bus costs and the insurance and the gas, and they were really concerned about the financial aspect of it. And I told them this. I said, let me just cut to the chase. I said, if you have don't have a bus ministry or do have a bus ministry, it has nothing to do with finances. I said most churches that don't have a bus ministry, they don't have that bus ministry. It's not because of money. The reason is not because of money. It's not because they can't afford a bus. It's not because they can't afford gas. It's not because they can't afford insurance, because they could if they just redirect some funds and reset some priorities. I said, let me tell you why you probably will never have a bus ministry. Because you can buy a bus and you can have the gas and you can take out the insurance. But let me tell you something. What makes a bus ministry a success is people, is families that say, I will sell out. And I will turn my weekend inside out. And I will designate several hours every Saturday and rearrange my whole Sunday schedule 52 weeks a year to reach people. And I told them this. Most Christians, especially in liberal churches, are so selfish they will never, ever do that. I saw that man about 6 months later. I said, hey, did you get your bus ministry started? He said, no, we raised the money for a bus. You were right. We had all the finances figured out. We had it in the budget to do it. But we couldn't get anybody to volunteer to work it. Yeah. Let me tell you this. Listen, I'm done. You know what? I am afraid that there may be a day where Blessed Hope Baptist Church will have a bus ministry. Will it be because of gas? Nope. Will it be because buses have gas? Nope. Will it be because of liability? Nope. It will be, and it will come, if we end up raising a generation of young couples that say, I'm not interested in sacrifice. I'm not willing to change my life. I don't want to be bothered. I want a little pristine weekend schedule that allows people to see that I'm a good Christian but doesn't really require anything extra of me. If we become that type of church, the bus ministry will die a natural death. So that means that I'm talking about you 20-somethings. I'm talking about you 30-somethings. I'm talking about some of you that are in your older teens and you're coming up and you're getting ready to acclimate into the church workforce. Somebody's got to be willing to take the baton from some of these that already have had to hand it off and others that soon are going to have to hand it off. Somebody's got to say, the bus ministry's worth it. Young people are worth it. Children are worth it. Teenagers are worth it. And I'm going to work it, and I'm going to stay with it. Good days, bad days, low days, high days, hot days, cold days. I'm just going to stay with it. And I'm going to do it year after year after year after year. And if you do that, you're going to look back at the end of your life, a lifetime, and you're going to see young people in the ministry. You're going to see young people on the mission field. You're going to see families that have been reached. You're going to look around this church and be able to see families that are sitting in here that was reached through your bus ministry. You're going to be able to go back and look on the board and see kids sitting in Christian colleges training for the ministry that came on your bus route. But that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen by joining it for 6 months and then saying, you know what, this is too hard. Women, ladies, let me say something to you. Don't be selfish. Your husband gets a burden for this, you ought to be right in behind him. Who cares if supper has to wait a little while? Support him. If he brings it up and says, we need to pray about this, you know what? Get on board. Get on board. You can have a perfect hair day on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. Well, I don't know about all those days. Friday and Saturday. But you know what? It won't hurt a bit. It won't hurt a bit to give something up for the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to rededicate ourselves here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to this unique ministry, this amazing ministry. I don't know, Lord. I don't know. I've heard people say, speculate. I don't know. You know. But I'm not sure, Lord, of all the ministry that's ever been started by the local New Testament church, I'm not sure that more people have been reached for Jesus Christ maybe than any other single ministry. Maybe the bus ministry is that ministry. I don't know. Lord, you're the one that keeps an accurate count. You know these things. But I do know this. I've been a first-hand witness to how the bus ministry has brought salvation to the heart of people who probably never would have been saved if some church hadn't been willing to sacrifice financially and sacrifice of their time and efforts and just say, this one thing I do, I'm selling myself out to this. I'm going to be a bus captain. I'm going to be a bus driver. I'm going to be a lady bus worker. And I'm not going to do it as a fair weather worker. I'm going to do it. I'm going to dedicate myself to it. I'm going to give myself to it. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, Lord, to consider what you would have us to do. Lord, I don't want to be the Holy Spirit. It's not my job to be the Holy Spirit. I've said what I need to say. I believe I've said what you had would have me say. And Lord, I pray, dear God, you'd please walk up and down every aisle, tenderize our heart. Help us not to become a snobbish church. Help us not decide that we want to invest money and time in things that cause us from the outside maybe to look a little more prestigious in the community. Help us to love the blind, the maimed, Lord, those that are poor. Help us to spend our time in the city lanes and the highways and the hedges. Help us to just keep rattling these old buses down gravel roads, seeking out and finding little trailers and little houses where there's some kids here and kids there, a teenager here, a mother here that doesn't have a car and can't come, poor family here. Lord, help us to reach them one at a time. Help us to keep reaching them until Jesus comes. We pray these things in Jesus' name.